This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
Ron's, especially the 80s, was totally out of control. The mafia was still running around. I remember as a kid going into local bodegas and seeing mafia guys in suits, you know, coming to collect taxes. I mean, it was just a really bad situation. So that's kind of, you know, the environment I grew up in. Fast forward, I ended up getting involved in a deal with a drug dealer that went bad. I sold them some products that were supposed to last for a certain amount of time. They only lasted for a fraction of that time. And essentially my life, my mother's life was were threatened. And that was my wake up call. That was the thing, that along with the fact that there were people going to federal prison for the stuff that I was doing. And I was just always able to be one step ahead of the law.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
For our listeners joining us today, thank you so much for coming back for part two. As you know, we were just talking with Remy Adeleke, and man, his testimony is unreal. And really hearing what has led him to this point has just kind of blown all of us away. So I'm so excited to keep pushing through and moving into the excitement of this new film that you were just talking about. Continue, Remy, telling us a little bit more as we pick up on this part two. Tell us a little more about the use of organ harvesting and trafficking, because man, it's like kind of we said, we know that people are our currency at this point, right? Unfortunately, they've become our currency in the world. So much of that we don't even touch the surface on. You know, we deal a lot with the sex trafficking in our industry, especially, but organ harvesting is not something we normally get to talk about. So please, let's hear your heart for it.
No, 100%. So, you know, as Mitch touched on before, when people hear human trafficking, they automatically go to sex trafficking and that's it.
Yeah.
But there are so many different facets of human trafficking. There's labor trafficking, where people are trafficked labor. I interviewed a guy yesterday. I'm going to release his full interview in a few days. But he was trafficked from Venezuela to Mexico, and he was pretty much in prison in his house, in his lavish house in Mexico, with 100 other trafficked victims, who were people who were lured to Mexico with the promise that they would be able to get crossed into, they would be able to cross into America, and there were kids, he said, that were used to move drugs into America, because the kids are, you know, they're low vis as it relates to when people are coming into the border and not expected to have drugs.
Right.
And so used to move drugs, and they're killed after they, some of them were killed after they moved the drugs into the country. And so you have that, you have forced marriages, which are a form of trafficking. There's a recent story that came out of Cambodia of a guy who traveled from China to Cambodia, and he was trafficked for his blood for months. A gang captured him and would just pull his blood out and give him food, and he kept him chained up. Wow. And would give him food so that he could replenish his blood and then draw more blood, and that happened to him for months. And then obviously the one that I talk about, and there's testing, where people are trafficked and mm-hmm. used for testing in other countries. And then obviously the topic that I touch on, which is organ harvesting, which is a big thing. Now, I will say that there are no real hardened statistics as it relates to organ harvesting, mm-hmm. because it happens so much, so deep under the surface.
Right.
But based off of stories from around the world, we do know it's big. For example, in Cairo, Egypt is the organ harvesting capital of the world.
Wow.
A lot of people don't even realize that.
Yeah.
are one of the is the biggest seller when it comes to organ harvesting. Mm-hmm. It was a story that came out in 2016 that there was a raid conducted and 45 people were detained. Among them were doctors and nurses and millions and millions of dollars. Now, why does this happen? Because there's a migrant issue in Egypt and you get people that are so poor that they're willing. So, and this touches on a different facet as it relates to organ harvesting. Mm-hmm. They're willing to sell a kidney in order to either be smuggled into smuggled abroad or an opportunity for work or an opportunity for money. So, but it's still illegal. It's in Egypt and deemed illegal. But there are traffickers who play on emotions and play on the lack of victims in order to get them to sell their organs. Mm. And you know, another thing to think about is, you know, due to the crumbling health system and a shortage of organs, patients have to wait for years for organs. So what do they do? What do these traffickers do? And these people, they turn to the black market.
Yep.
And so, you know, Cairo, Egypt, and there's India. There's so many stories that have come out of India. And there's one story in particular of a woman who was in a low caste system because, you know, they have a caste system in India in this village.
Yes.
And she was essentially given received the email. A lot of this stuff is done digitally. As a matter of fact, online recruitment increased 22% during lockdowns, 25% mm-hmm. increase in reported recruitment on Facebook, and a 95% increase on Instagram. So how is this happening? A lot of it is being done through social media. It's being done through draft folders and emails. It's being done in multiple ways, all online, in order to kind of entrap people, the purchase of organs, the finding of organs, and so on and so forth. But anyway, it was this. I'm sorry for going down that tangent.
No, that's a good one to go down, because here's the thing. If it's happening, it's because there's a demand, right? The reason there's a supply is because there's an obvious demand for it. And that's the thing that has to be addressed.
Yes. And you bring up a fantastic point. There will always be a demand for organs. There are going to always be a whole lot of people who need organs, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in order to live and continue on, but there's going to also juxtapose that. There's going to also be so few people who can give those organs.
Right.
And I think that that's something that's hard, can be really, really hard for a healthy person to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're healthy and all your organs are functioning, that's not a world that you kind of can comprehend. Juxtapose that with a person who has kidney issues and is on dialysis and is desperate and will do anything for an organ. They understand that case even more so.
Right.
Go a step further. I spoke at a funeral this past Saturday of a kid who was 21. He died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And his parent, he was a donor. And so, you know, his heart saved a girl's life who was 25.
Wow.
His lungs saved a guy's life who was 27, and his kidney saved two other people's lives.
Wow.
Now, those the people who received the organs were one of many people. The girl who received the heart was one of many people who needed the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The person that received the lungs was one of many people who needed the lungs.
Right.
And so, again, this is the thing where the demand is so high, extremely high. Mm-hmm. And traffickers know this. And traffickers know how desperate people who are, you know, if they don't get an organ, they're going to die.
Yep.
They're going to die. And they know how desperate people are, and they know how desperate people are who need money, but also they know how to manipulate the system and trick people into doing things. For example, the story I was telling you about this lady in India, she was tricked into going to New Delhi for a job. She gets to her apartment that was provided for her. The guy who later found out was a trafficker, she thought was an employer, told her, hey, in order for you to start work, you need to go get a medical checkup. She goes and gets this medical checkup, gets undressed, goes to this clinic, gets undressed, gets ready for her medical checkup. Thank God for her attentiveness. She overheard somebody in another room saying, yes, she's giving up these organs.
Wow.
Whatever organ. Again, I'm, you know, and this is all you got to do. And one thing I will add, these stories are all open source. All you got to do is just Google organ harvesting or India woman lurb and all of this stuff. So I'm not saying anything that's like made up. It's
right.
all And she overheard that. She got up, got dressed, boogied out of there and alerted the authorities, and authorities were able to uncover a multi-million dollar organ harvesting ring that had been going on for a long period of time. So, you know, this is something that is massive. And another thing I'll touch on, you know, as it relates to, because people are like, well, how much does this organ go for? How much does this organ go for? Why would traffickers do this instead of just sex trafficking? You know, we know that a clean heart or lung will go for a minimum. It'll just start, not go for minimum, but the starting price starts at $130,000.
Oh, my goodness.
It starts, okay? A kidney or liver will go for just under $100,000. Cornea of the eyes will go for about $30,000. So if we take a whole person, right, a whole person, can be valued, and I'm just going to give a conservative number, can be valued at anywhere between $400,000 and $500,000.
Wow.
And that's like price-wise, right? Yeah. Now, depending on how desperate people are for specific organs, because I said a clean lung starts at $140,000. Wow. It's probably more than that, but I'm just trying to give a realistic number. Now, that's more lucrative and safer for a trafficker than it is to traffic a girl for sex. And this is something that's not talked about, that needs to be talked about and discussed. Why is that?
Because she can't speak.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot more money, obviously, way more money. How much time will it take for a girl to earn that kind of money through sex?
Oh, a while, right? Because we're looking at, especially depending on where she's at, I mean, that it would take months, years, even if necessary, you know, depending on certain sectors of the world she's in. So that's easy money, quick for them.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're not just talking about girls, which is the, and women, which are, you know, the majority of people who are trafficked, because we know that, you know, 600 to 800 globally trafficked victims a year, the majority of those victims are women and children. So now we're opening up to not just women and children, we're opening up to boys and men who can, their organs can be taken out as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's more lucrative, right? But also it's safer, as you touched on. Why is it safer? Because the trafficker doesn't have to worry about undercover cop or undercover NGO. They're, you know, the girl running away and saying what happens. He doesn't have to worry about competition with other pimps and traffickers. They don't have to worry about anything. All they got to do is take the organs, burn the body, and move on to the next person. Mm-hmm. And I'll give a real world example as to why this, and I'll just call it assumption, so people don't say that I'm writing the gospel here.
Remy, I'm gonna let our listeners hang on at the edge of their seats once again for that one, because we do need to move into a quick break. But I know they're stuck at this point, guys. So thank you so much for joining us. And we'll head into a quick break, guys. Bring it back, and you guys will hear the end of that story.
Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially.
All right. And we are back yet again with Remy. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I am on the edge of my seat, and I am so incredibly blown away at just the things that God is doing in your life and how he's moved you to this point. I don't want to take anything away from the story you left us hanging on. So let's head right back into that.
Yeah. And so to connect us to as to why a trafficker would do organ harvesting versus sex trafficking. This story that came out this past June, I believe, and Texas. There was a girl who was went to an NBA game with her father, Dallas Mavericks NBA game. She got up to go use the bathroom, never came back. Father tried to find her. They looked on security cameras. She was not found. The police came and they essentially wrote it off as a runaway. They said, okay, she's just a runaway because she's a teenager. Jeez. Okay. The father and mother knew their daughter, knew that their daughter wouldn't run away. She had no reason to run away. Mm. And so they reached out to a nonprofit that, you know, specialized in human trafficking and rescuing people trapped in human trafficking. And I think veterans, I can't recall the name of the nonprofit, but
yeah,
I think veterans were tied to that nonprofit. This particular nonprofit scoured a dark web, and they ended up, weeks later, they ended up finding her on a dark web. She was being sold for sex. She was being trafficked for sex. Mm-hmm. They set up a sting. That sting, you know, was successful. They were able to rescue her. Okay. She was in it, I believe, I can't remember if she was in another state or another city from where she lived. Mm-hmm. And they were able to identify all the traffickers that were involved in her abduction from the game all the way through. Now, again, it was more risky for them to keep doing what they did.
Yep.
It opened up the door for them to get caught versus if they were to try. Now, I'm not advocating that they traffic girls for organs because that's a horrible thing, mm-hmm. but I'm just trying to give everybody insight into the mind of these minds of people. And so it's a big thing. It's disgusting. Yeah.
It is. And it's unfortunate because I think, you know, sitting on, it's a little bit different for us because we've, you know, both of us have heard and seen the things firsthand, but for our listeners, we don't want our minds to go to the atrocities that mankind is capable of. It's a scary place to go. It's an evil place to go, but if we don't go there, we can't ever fight it, you know? Yeah. And so we have to be willing to go to those places of the deepest darkness so that we can shine a light on it, you know, and otherwise the darkness just grows, you know?
Yeah, and that was one that, you know, that's what inspired me to write that caption at the opening of the film, closing our eyes to the darkness in this world doesn't extinguish it, but only deepens it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we live in a time where people are just like, oh, well, you know, that's too dark. But again, I push back on the whole that's too dark thing, because when you see what people watch, even Christians, they'll watch. I mean, I'm a Christian, right? And so I'll prove myself guilty. You know, I watch Squid Games. You know, Squid Games was a very violent show.
Yes.
And you know, you have people getting killed. You know, I don't watch horror movies. That's my limit. But people watch horror movies and they watch aliens and people getting eaten alive and burned alive and all this different stuff. And but then when it comes to, you know, this in real form, they say it's too dark. No, this is it's real. You know, it's real. And I think that people do have the capacity for it. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's truth and, you know, truth cuts.
Absolutely.
But you know, once you embrace the truth and you act on it, then that's where the difference is made. And so, you know, I think there is an appetite for people to want to know the truth. It's just showing it. So it's just like a kid that says, you know, you're trying to teach a kid how to swim, and they're like, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get in the pool. I'm going to die. And then you go in the pool and you're there with them, and they trip out for a little bit, but then they're like, oh, no, this is not bad. Like, I can do it. Oh, I'm not going to die. Like, it's nothing. Oh, this is good. Oh, I didn't have confidence. So I think it's just one of those things.
You just got to have the drive to get in the fight, you know, whatever that looks like. And it's going to look different for every person. Not everybody is going to have the same calling on their life, but we all have a call as Christians to do something, to take action. Yeah. You know, Jesus was not a sit by and watch it happen kind of guy.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's been a problem with the church in and of itself, is like, you know, especially the Western church, where it's just turned into go to church on Sunday, check a box, and then that's the extent of your Christianity. They forget that, you know, it's about going outside of the church building and, you know, and reaching the loss and being you know, being that good Samaritan, you know, whether somebody believes what you believe or don't. And I think that, you know, one of the reasons why the world has been and is falling apart is because the people that God has called to be his, you know, light bearers in this world are, you know, not doing that, you know. And it's not always, I think people think it's always, oh, go up and preach or go and tell this person they're doing this and they shouldn't be doing it. It's not bad.
No.
It's you go out and be a light. You go out and do something and they will know who you are by your fruits.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that has been completely forgotten. So
and we've given
that's why sorry.
No, you're fine. As I say, we've given the enemy a lot of ground because we haven't operated in those in that authority, you know?
Yeah, and I blame it on the Western church system, you know, and just the way the Western church has been established and the preacher and the pastor is like set up to be this one figure that does all of this work and it, you know, gets this money and then the people, you know, can come and then they, you know, they, as long as they check that box and with the church and put some money in the offering box and their work is done. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of people deceived in the church. And then we look at the book of Revelations, you know, we read the letters that were written to the church at that time. We say, hey, how can they do this? Or how can they do that? How can they be lukewarm? And it's like, well, reality is, you know, that's kind of how we are, you know, and here in this day and age, you know.
That's right. And it's our nature, right, to want to be that way, to say, oh, I want to do something. But then to take that extra step to actually doing something is the part that differentiates us, right? It's we're riding the fence and then we choose which side we want to jump off on, you know? And I think that's a part of it is that willingness to dive in. And, you know, if we fully believe in the protection of the God we serve, the Most High, what keeps us from it? What keeps us from diving in, no matter what it looks like? You know, for some people, financially, it's scary to dive in. Okay, so you get on your social media platform. You speak at your church about these things that you feel passionate about, advocating for, and then you go out and meet the people that are in those situations. It's in our communities. If nothing else, I think speaking with you today brings to life that this is not just some Hollywood film, right? This isn't some movie where we get to watch, you know, it play out. And this is real life, you know? This is real life. And these are real people. So
yeah, exactly. That's why me as a filmmaker, you know, I'm all about authenticity. For me, it's just all about being as real and as it gets, because life is real. Life is, you know, rated R. XXX, and I just try to give it so that way we can. And that's one thing I love about Passion of Christ, that it was rated R.
Yeah.
Because what happened to Jesus was rated R, you know. Absolutely. And something I showed that. And, you know, one last thing I'll say on this topic,
yes, please.
You know, is we know that, you know, America, 1700s, late 1700s, 1800s, and, you know, slavery was very prevalent at that time. And, you know, you hear people who say, oh, you know, if I was back then, I would punch the slave owners in the face. I'd fight. I'll do this. I'll do that. That wouldn't happen under my watch. And I say to them, you know, guess what? It's not just happening now, but it's happening at an exponentially higher level now around the world than any other time. And what are you doing?
Absolutely.
If you say that you would be that person that would go fight slavery in the 1800s,
then do it now.
The reality is, you're not doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to. And I know that part of it is because you're not aware that it exists and it's real, but that's what this film is about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I made this short film, so that you could see that people could see that it happens and they have no excuse to turn a blind eye to it. And that's why hopefully, you know, the feature length film is going to be made as well. And so, yeah, that's don't have this my armchair quarterback mindset and say you would do something back then when you have all abilities and more to do something now.
Absolutely.
And you're not, you know.
What an incredible call to action, you know, get out and do something. Man, the time spent with you today on this, you know, I know originally we got started and didn't expect it to run into two podcasts, but here we are. And I think we could go for another hour if we wanted to, just listening to your story and where God's led you in this time. So tell me again and tell our listeners again when your film is going to be released and how they can see it. Because, man, I watched it here and I was blown away, you know, and I see this part of the industry, but your film is incredible at capturing the reality of it. So if you haven't, I mean, when you have the opportunity, listeners, get out there and watch it. And Remy, you tell us how.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. The film is going to release on September 30th, 2022. So in about two weeks from today. I'm just putting it on YouTube. So I have my YouTube channel, simply Remy Adelaide, my name. So if you go to my YouTube channel, you'll be able to watch the film for free. Leading up to September 30th, I've been releasing some kind of promo behind the scenes interviews with the actors, producers, and other people who worked on the film, so that way you can get some insight from the people who were part of the film as well. So September 30th, and then we are in talks to do a feature film, which is a continuation of the story. We're hoping, we're in the process of raising financing, because I can't afford to finance that. We're in the process of raising financing so that we could keep, educate on a bigger level in the film and TV space.
Absolutely. Well, for our listeners that are interested in helping with that, is there a place that they can go or contact or reach out to be able to help fund that?
I've been going back and forth. I was having a conversation with my assistant yesterday. I was like, should I do a Kickstarter and put a Kickstarter link with the film? But then I was like, I don't know. So, if people are interested, the budget for the film, you've watched the short film. That was a very expensive film to make. And now we're trying to do it at a bigger level with big movie stars. And the reason why we want to do it that way is so that way you can get like a wider viewing. Because at the end of the day, making a movie is all about having a star. Mm-hmm. And stars are expensive. But the bigger star you have, the more people are going to watch the film.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this is going to be pretty expensive. It's going to be about a $35-40 million film.
Wow.
So that's why I'm debating on whether doing a Kickstarter to get a bunch of people on it, or just, if anybody knows anybody with really, really deep pockets,
yeah,
you can send them my way, or send them Whitney's way, we get in contact with me, and we could. We're putting it together a fund to be able to make this movie right. So yeah. I'm not going to close the door to anybody. So good job.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because, this is an opportunity to be a part of something too, and I think that if God's prompting people's heart as they're listening to this, as this is their way to get involved, then by all means, find a way to reach out to us. You can get a hold of Lantern Rescue, and we'll get you in touch with Remy. We'll make something happen. Or again, follow him on his social media. And to our listeners, please join us on our next podcast. Until then, feel free to learn a little bit more about human trafficking at lanternrescue.org. Plug into our social media. Sign up for our prayer needs and newsletter updates. If you're not signed up, please join us there. We want you in the fight against human trafficking. So thank you so much, guys.
This is the Truth Network.